Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. This evening, Scratched Up will bring you two plays written by local writers. Our first play is Taggers by Dax Monstro, a.k.a. Charles Finkel.
Andy sat quietly in the back of the Toyota pickup as it wove between cars on the Santa Monica freeway. Traffic was light, but at 3 a.m. there never were many cars on the freeways. Now were the hours when groups of wayward teenagers made the asphalt jungle their turf and tagged every available sign and underpass so all of Los Angeles would know they were there. It was a damp night, with a fog that pierced Andy's sweatshirt. He was cold, and deep in his heart longed to be asleep in a warm house, not unlike the thousands of which he and his gang passed each night while tagging the roadways and property of the City of the Angels. Perhaps in another life, he would have the luxury of actually sleeping all night long, but not tonight, for there was property to be tagged and a lot of spray paint waiting, unused, along with Andy in the back of the pickup truck. Howie was driving the Toyota with his girlfriend Maria seated next to him. To Maria's right was Lori, her best friend. She had never been on a tagging run and was enjoying being along for the ride. In the back, with Andy, was his best friend and Howie's younger brother, Gil.
It's too cold tonight, Gil. Tell your brother to take us home. My clothes are soaked and I'm getting sick.
I don't know, man. We gotta get some tagging done before morning. You know that. We promised the others we'd get some houses tonight, and if we don't, they'll be down on us. I'm not going to tell Howie. You do it.
Aside from being cold and wet, Andy was feeling uneasy about tagging houses. It was one thing to paint the freeways or walls of businesses, because the city would have to clean it up. Andy felt no remorse about that. After all, he was a victim of the system. He had to live in poverty, so why shouldn't everyone else suffer for his misery? That's what he has been taught all his life. But a private home was different. People would be sleeping inside. He wouldn't want someone to spray paint his home. Worse yet, what if the homeowners awoke and had a gun or a vicious dog? Many thoughts were going through Andy's mind, number one of which was that he did not want to be along on tonight's tagging run. He wanted to be home in bed. No matter how run down his house, it was still his home.
Hey, man, let's go home. We're freezing back here.
No way, man. We gotta tag some houses, man. You know that. If you didn't want to come, you should have stayed home with your mommy.
Howie drove on, ignoring Andy's request, until they came to a quiet street on the west side of Los Angeles. No cars were moving in the sleepy neighborhood except for their own. The homes were modest, certainly nothing like Beverly Hills. But to this group, accustomed to small apartments occupied by several families, the houses were mansions, which must be occupied by rich people who deserved to be blessed with their moniker. Howie parked the pickup alongside a fire hydrant. They surely would not get a ticket at this hour of the morning.
Come on, let's get moving and tag some houses.
I got lots of spray paint. Let's go.
I'm right with you, man.
Hey, bro, bust me up some red paint.
You got it, bro. I'm gonna tag this no stopping sign. KB's. Kick butt.
Look at this, man. A brand new Ford Explorer. I'm gonna spray KB's all over it. Stupid car never looks so good. Come on, you guys. Get that red paint and spray KB everywhere.
What about the houses, Howie? You want us to spray the houses too?
What do you think, dude? That's why we drove all the way here. Now, let's get every house on the block so we can go home.
The two girls wrapped themselves close to Howie, and off they went into the misty night air, canvassing the block for nice, clean homes to deface. One home on the block had a different appearance from the rest. While the others were clean with well-groomed lawns, this home looked dirty and the yard unkempt. A sole light was on in front of the wooden door. Ghostly shadows were cast on the door from the large chips of paint peeling from its face. Gil and Andy stopped on the sidewalk in front of the path leading to the strange home's eerie entrance. They hesitated from painting anything on this home, since it looked bad enough already. Besides, they were both too scared to proceed up the path under the swaying and creaking branches of an old eucalyptus tree. As they stood, staring at the strange glow of the light shining from the entranceway, Howie came up behind them.
What's the matter? Why aren't you tagging the door?
I got a bad feeling about this one. We tagged enough tonight. Let's go home.
No way. We're getting them all.
What's the matter, Andy? You chicken? You agree, Maria?
Sure, Lori. Yeah, what's the matter? You chicken?
No, I ain't chicken. We done enough tonight, and I want to go home. I'm wet and cold and tired. And anyway, it won't matter if this old house gets tagged or not, because no one's gonna look at it anyway.
We're gonna tag it, and then we'll go home. Now come on and follow me.
The ragtag quintet silently made their way along the path towards the entranceway of the dilapidated home. Howie strode confidently in front, with his girls in tow. Andy and Gil followed sheepishly behind. When they got within a few feet of the door, Howie raised his can of red spray paint and with large movements of his arms sprayed KB on the door of the old home. He made it larger than any of the others. The letters were at least 5 feet tall and 3 feet across.
See? You see? The house looks better than ever.
We're being pulled into the house!
Andy thought of the mistake he'd made joining the taggers this night. He yearned for the warmth and security of his home and bed, a blanket wrapped tightly around his body. But instead, all he felt was the piercing cold of a steel mesh net resting heavily on his back, same as it was on his fellow taggers. He wanted to scream, but numbing fear prevented him. Any words which he wanted to shout out into the damp, dark house were stifled by the terror which was rapidly invading his thoughts.
Who would do this? Is some bitter homeowner, fed up with graffiti, going to kill us?
Quick, let's get this thing off of us and get out of here.
And he could hear Howie's voice, which was only a few inches away, but he could not see him, it was so dark in the house. The girl's screams were now reduced to whimpers. Andy tried to see them, but was blocked by the blanket of blackness which enveloped the room.
Where are you going to run? There really is no place you can go right now.
No.
You are my guests. Please take advantage of my hospitality. For if you don't, I may be forced to act in a most inhospitable fashion. Do you understand?
Who are you? What do you want with us?
Turn on the lights, please, Muffy.
An ornate old chandelier with small candle-like bulbs dimly illuminated the room. It took a few seconds for their eyes to adjust to the light, but the taggers could soon see where they were. Just as the outside of the house was old and dilapidated, the inside, too, seemed to be in shambles. Paintings hung askew on the walls. Furniture was placed in ramshackle fashion. Thick waves of dust hung like curtains in the musty air. In the corner of the large room, Andy could barely make out the figure of someone or something sitting in a tall chair. By the chandelier, bathed in more light, was another figure. It appeared to be taller than a man, standing erect, like a human, but it had the face of an animal. It wore no clothing and was covered with thick hair.
Thank you, Muffy.
I'm getting out of here. Oh, get this thing off of me!
That's a good girl, Muffy. Now, be nice to our guest girl. We don't want to harm him.
Let go of me!
The creature lifted the tagger high off the floor. Howie began to swing wildly, hoping to hit the creature in the head. One swing of his arm connected with the protruding snout of the creature, which then elicited an ear-piercing howl, unlike anything the taggers had ever heard. They all covered their ears to block out the shrieking. The creature grabbed onto Howie even tighter and raised him above her head with both hairy arms outstretched and then dropped him right on top of the other four taggers who huddled together on the floor.
That a girl, Muffy. Don't be too rough on our guests. But then again, make sure they know who's in command. Now, come over here and let me check your face, you poor little girl.
What do you want with us? Why don't you let us go?
Oh, I see you children like to paint. Well, you've come to the right house. It's been a while since we've had any painting done around here, and since you seem to have a lot of paint and experience, perhaps you could paint our house. What do you think?
No way, man. We aren't no painters, and we're not doing nothing on your house.
Oh, I'm afraid you already have. What about my front door? Did you not paint that?
Well, yeah, man, but who's just having some fun? You know, we can paint over that.
And what of the rest of the homes in this neighborhood? And the signs, and the shops, and the freeways. Were you just having some fun when you painted all of them? No, my young friends, I'm afraid you have no choice in the matter. The house needs painting, and you shall be the ones to paint it. And should you try to leave without finishing the job, well, Muffy does like to play, especially with little children such as yourselves. Any questions?
Please.
Now, if you please, there's plenty of white paint next to the door, and the brushes are next to them. You should start inside. When the inside is finished, you shall complete the exterior. And when the whole house is painted, you shall be permitted to leave.
But we don't know how to paint houses. All we've ever painted is a little graffiti, and that never hurt no one.
Well, my young friend, painting is not that difficult, as you have already learned. You just need some paint and brushes, and believe it or not, you can do good things with the paint. You may think you have hurt no one, but in fact you have hurt a lot of people with your mindless little graffiti. Do you not believe that when you scribble with paint on someone's door, such as you have done on mine, that it hurts the owner of that property? Do you not understand that when you spray your dribble on the property of others, you eat away at the very heart and soul of the city and those who live in it? The paint you spray covers more than the private property you destroy with it. It casts a pall over everything and everyone. It erodes everyone's enjoyment of life. Do you honestly believe that hard-working, industrious citizens who actually benefit society rather than suck it dry like yourselves should be forced to endure the despoliation that you and those like you wreak each and every night? I think not. Indeed, you have hurt many people, my young friend. And now you shall pay for your crimes.
You can't make us do this. You don't have the power to do this. Besides, we're entitled to a trial.
But I can, my dear. And if you think I can't, perhaps you wish to argue your case to Muffy. Now, children, I think it's time for you to pay for your bad deeds and do something positive. The sun will soon be up. Time to rise and shine. It's time to start painting.
Slowly and reluctantly, the young group of taggers began to stand. They walked together to the cans of white paint and brushes. They stood as a group and started streaking the paint on the wall of the room close to the chandelier. It was still dimly lit, but they could see the areas they were painting. Muffy stood directly behind them, ready to pounce should anyone attempt to escape. They dipped the brushes in the paint and stroked the wall. Even with the light dim, they could see the thick white paint that was covering the dilapidated wall. After one section of the wall was completed, they moved to the next. As he painted, Andy thought to himself about the strange happenings of this night. He recalled how cold he was in the back of the truck and his desire to be in bed. He thought back on the many other nights he had been out tagging the streets of Los Angeles and how much fun he had doing it. He tried to mentally calculate how long it would take to finish painting the old home. Based on what he saw and the speed the five taggers were painting the inside of the house, he thought they would be done by afternoon and that he would be in bed right after dinner. But Andy couldn't see what the old homeowner, comfortably seated in the darkness, saw. Nor could he see the smirk on the old man's face as he watched the taggers struggle with the painting. What Andy and his fellow taggers failed to notice was that when they finished painting one area and moved on to the next, the fresh paint that moments before covered the old and tattered walls evaporated as if never there.
Keep painting. Remember, as soon as you finish, you will be free to leave.
The taggers kept painting, and the paint behind them kept vanishing. No doubt, it was going to take a long, long time to finish painting this house.
Taggers was directed by John Welsh. The voices you heard were John Welsh as the owner, Keith Rose as Howie, Chloe Freeland as Laurie, Dustin Davis as Gil, Nick Brown as Andy, Elizabeth Kacha as Maria, and Don Tamblyn was our narrator. Our second play is To Burden a King, written by Ela Williams from Sacramento as a project for Shasta College. Our script was adapted for radio by Bob Christensen. The newly crowned king of Dakarta, Lucian, sits writing at a desk, stacks of papers before him. He is upset and frustrated. He dips his quill pen into the inkwell and continues writing. Off stage, something shatters. Lucian cringes at the sound.
Can you please shut up? Do you know how loud you're being? With humble acceptance, I agree to this union. For too long, our lands have been apart. Enemies. Dakarta and Duraceum will be united forever. It is with further joy that I give my son, Prince Tristan Prinatius Melchior, to your sister, Princess Eleanor Mary Koros, in the year of blah, 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 politics, titles, nonsense, more junk. What's done is done. Dear God, I need a rest. My eyes hurt. If you could quiet down out there, I'd be able to write this.
Your Majesty, apologies. I came to trim the wicks.
Pour me some wine first. Pour another.
It's empty, Your Grace.
Of course it is. Everything in my life is. I'm a king, yet my advisor controls me. I let my damned sister. I let her choose my clothes, my food, and my advisors, for God's sake.
Are you drunk? Well, you always have been a light drunk.
I'm not a light drunk. I'm not, I swear.
Whatever you say, my king. Mind if I play with your hair?
Don't do that. I hate my stuff being messy.
That's not what you said the other day.
That was a one-time thing. It won't happen again.
You didn't enjoy yourself?
I did. But we won't do that again. I have other things to do with my time, not bother myself with primal urges.
Men are driven by their primal urges, as they say.
Well, I don't have that luxury. I have a kingdom to run, and a letter to respond to. The Queen of Duraceum, your mother, wants a reply in 3 days. 3 days. Who in the hell? No! How in the hell? This is trash! Bring me more paper and wine.
At once, Your Majesty.
I can't do this.
I can write the letter. I am your advisor, after all. It is my duty to help you.
Fine. Write it. Where the hell is that servant? I want more wine.
You've had a bit much, don't you think? You know it comes back worse tomorrow, and you have that appointment with Duke Ferdinand. You know how much of a bore he is. You'll need a clear head to deal with him.
I don't care.
You should. This is your kingdom, after all. I'm merely an advisor. Confidant. Friend? Your Grace, my king, I can only do what you allow me to do. Let me help you. Pass me the letter. I am only here to help you now.
Why did you do this? Why? I don't want Tristan. He's a... one of them. How could you do this? As the eldest, I have rights. It should be me on that throne and you here. Father would have never let you do this. Never! You ruined everything! With Summerdale threatening war, you could have forged an alliance with them. We have no money left for another war. No money left for anything. Lucian, please, reconsider this. Break the annulment. It's not too late. Turning your back on Summerdale will kill us all. Lucian, are you listening to me? Lucian! Lucian! Oh, you never listen. Even when Father was alive, you didn't listen to anybody but yourself. What kind of king will you be if you have ears for nobody but yourself? You're selfish. So selfish! I hate you! Why did you end up with the throne? You don't even know how to use it. Even now the people are restless. A young king, a boy on the throne. We need bread and protection. And you give our lands to somebody else in exchange for my hand. I can't believe this.
Believe it. I am your king, your ruler, your leader. It is your duty to obey me. I'm not just your brother. I have duties. Every day. Every day I'm here studying, holding meetings, boring meetings with men three times my age. Do you know what they call me behind my back? The same thing you did. Boy King. I'm doing the best that I can, and if giving Tristan your hand in marriage keeps us safe, then I will.
You're making a mistake.
It's my mistake to make.
I'm not leaving. I won't be given away like a horse at market.
Well, should I write the queen and tell her to annul the agreement? Should I cower behind these walls with my tail between my legs like father did his whole life? Should I ignore everything around me like he did? Ignore the whispers, the revolts, the uprising that came from his intolerance? He wanted a kingdom of peace and beauty. It brought war and destruction. He brought war and destruction. Hundreds dead in the streets while you and the girls sit on your asses and look pretty.
Mother would have slapped you for using such language.
The wine you wanted, Your Grace.
Wine? Why are you drinking wine in the middle of the afternoon? If anyone were to come in here and see their king in such a state...
Sister, I beg of you, shut up! Every word hammers my ears.
You're drunk.
Only a little. It's none of your business anyway. All your life you've never minded your business. And now here you are in mine, as usual.
How much did he have?
Don't answer that.
I am your princess, and you will answer me when I speak to you, or you will find yourself turned out into the street.
It was the whole bottle, Your Grace.
Shut your mouth! Who asked you to speak?
Apologies, Your Majesty.
What is wrong with you? Take the wine and bring him some water. His Grace will have naught but water from now on.
No.
Your Grace?
I beg your pardon.
I am the king. The king! If I want a drink, I will. If I want to get pissed drunk, I will. If I want to marry you to some damn foreign prince, I will. I'm the king. I have the power to do what I wish. And what is best for everyone.
Lucian, Your Grace, it's not wise to drink so much. I drank after Father died too, you know. Bring the water.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Stay.
Do as I say and fetch His Grace some water.
I don't care.
You do care. I can tell. Locking yourself in your room, surrounded by books. When Father was here, you hated studying. And now the girls and I never see you. You're studying so hard. I just wish you wouldn't lose yourself.
I lost myself a year ago when the rioters hung Father's body from the ramparts for all to see. I lost myself then. Probably forever.
Not forever. I refuse to believe that.
I refuse to believe anything anymore.
Please, reconsider this. I don't want this.
I've had two other offers for you. King Rhett of Summerdale, who has a habit of beating his wives and committing atrocities with them, or so I've heard. He's offering 2,000 gold pieces, 400 head of cattle, and 6 diamonds the size of your fist. Or there's King Penem in Ankish. But he's a drunkard and a cheat. You would be one of 5 other wives. Lastly is Prince Tristan. Young and brave. Handsome. And wise.
Maybe you should be the one marrying him.
His mother, the Queen of Durasium, helped us in the war, and all we have to do is give her a few measly acres on the coast.
If you give her those acres, she'll soon have our entire country.
How can a few acres create an entire country? I'm not that dumb, Eleanor.
I never said...
You implied it.
I never did such a thing.
Your water, Your Grace.
I don't think you're stupid, Lucian. In our younger years, yes. But think. She'll have her army on her lands again.
That was to help us.
But what if she tries to help us by conquering us? There's no arguing with Durasium, ever. There's no fighting them either. They're bigger and stronger, and with you, a young king, green as grass on the throne. What I'm trying to say is that Queen Hespera gets what she wants, and she wants our land. She won't stop at a few acres, and you know it.
That's why you're marrying Tristan, to stop her from taking too much of our land. With this alliance, we'll have the most powerful country in the world as our ally. Nobody will rise against us. Don't you understand?
Of course I do.
Besides, you aren't marrying him for at least 3 years.
Oh, thank you for your generosity. Look, little brother, you're still drunk. We'll talk about this more tomorrow.
Don't boss me around as if I'm a child.
Then stop acting like a child.
Get out.
A true king doesn't raise his voice at a woman, nor use violence.
You want to see violence? Take a look outside. People rioting over a loaf of bread. My God, woman!
I won't be spoken to that way.
I will speak to you any way I want. You are mine to do as I say. Get out of my sight before I hang you from the ramparts.
Your sister is sobbing in the hall.
Good. Let her cry.
No, not good. Crying means anger. Anger means you forget to send this letter. Forgetting the letter means my mother gets pissed off, which means war, which leads to you being dead. Blah, blah, blah.
You don't want to marry her, do you?
I'd rather have you.
Me? Why would you want me?
I just do.
What then will you do?
Marry her. Have children, little princes and princesses for her to spoil, rule a few measly acres on the coast, follow my mother's orders for the rest of my life, and not have a life of my own.
You have me as a friend.
Yes, I do. A hug, perhaps?
No. We can't be seen together.
Nobody is here to see us. Just a hug.
No, we can't. You're marrying my sister. Don't you understand? I never wanted to be king. I thought the crown would go to my sister, and now I'm trapped with responsibilities that I never wanted. What I do know is that I don't want to end up like my father, hanging from the ramparts. It seems that all that is happening is naught but a conspiracy to burden a king. Me.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry.
You have been listening to Burden a King by Ela Williams, adapted for radio by Bob Christensen. The voices you heard were Jacob McDuffie as Lucian, Cole Cassell as Tristan, Julia Cushman as Eleanor, and the servant was played by Reagan Reagan. Technical production for both our plays tonight was provided by Lily Dubois, who supplies technical production for all of our plays. You have been listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater on KKRN-FM Community Radio. This is your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good evening. KKRN Community Radio relies on its listeners for support. And this Saturday, August 17th, KKRN is having a big yard sale from 7 a.m. till 5 p.m. at the Hill Country Clinic on Highway 299 in Round Mountain. There will be music by Zuzaz and Friends from 10:30 to 12:30, plus snacks, coffee, and cold drinks for sale. All proceeds will support KKRN, your local community radio station. Call 530-337-1101 for more information. That's KKRN's Yard Sale, Saturday, August 17th, 7 a.m. till 5 p.m. at the Hill Country Clinic in Round Mountain.